Okay, good enough.
Cool. All right, what's going on? Bay Ragney here. We're here for the Rock and Ragney Show. Happy Monday morning. We have a legendary guest I can't wait to talk to. But before we get into that, we got to pay our bills and say thank you to our good friends over at Next Home Brandywine. Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors, they can provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Visit nexthomebrandywine.com for details and to contact an agent. They do service Philly and the surrounding areas, but nationwide referrals are available. They have 48 offices out of the 50 states. So, if you're looking to move anywhere around the country, Next Home is the realtors for you. Be sure to ask them about their NH5 listing special, and you can call them directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. 4862, nexthomebrandywine.com, and don't forget to tell them Italy German Radio sent you. So there he is, the man, the myth, and I do mean the legend himself, Mr. Carl Kennedy of the Rods. Carl, how the hell you been, man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for doing this, man. It's kind of scary. Like I was going through the archives and I saw it was 4 years ago was the last time we did our interview.
Wow. Well, that's on you, man. Not me. I'm here.
So, but how was everything? I was looking up about your new solo album that you put out. Everything, every article, they all refer to you as legend. Like, does that kind of freak you out when you hear that?
It does, because I think when that legend, and then there's an equal sign, and then after that is old. So it's a little freaks me out a little bit. No, it's a really nice, something nice, a nice title to have. But I mean, I hardly think of myself as legendary in any way. And, I appreciate any kind words people have for me, because starting out, I didn't get a lot of kind words. So nice to have some now at the end,
Yeah, right. Like, could you imagine like when the Rods broke through and started back in 1980, 40 years later, I can't believe I just said that, but 40 years later, now you're being referred to as a legend.
Years. Mm-hmm. Well, when we started, and I was playing with a group called the Dean Brothers for a period of time, and they had a regional hit, excellent band. And prior to that, I would go to a music store and nobody would notice. You're still there?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So I would go into a music store. Nobody would notice me. Nobody wanted to wait on me. But then I joined the Dean Brothers, who were this hip cult band in Ithaca, in regional success. So they were the darlings. So suddenly I go to a music store and people would go, oh my God, Carl, what can we get for you? Oh my God. And then, so I became like the favorite drummer now, from going to ignore to now as the favorite guy. And of course, I was always resentful as opposed to thrilled about that. I thought, wow, you couldn't, 6 months ago, I was not even noticed. Now, all of a sudden, you're falling all over yourself. I'm the same guy. I didn't get any better. So the Rods played a show. I'm trying to think of the club, but it was a loud club, but it used to be a theater. And maybe 50 people in the club, right? We start playing. It was a mass exodus. You would think somebody yelled fire. or there'd been an explosion right behind us that we weren't aware of, and suddenly they were literally running for the exits. By the end of the first set, we had a road crew, which were five guys, maybe a couple of girlfriends, and maybe, and I say maybe, one or two people. End of the night, I walk outside, and the guitar tech from the store, Ithaca Guitar Works, he was always, now suddenly a huge fan. He goes, Carl, what are you doing? This music sucks. This is horrible. My God, this is the worst music. And now remember, he's drunk and slumped down outside and leaning up against the building, holding the building up. And he's going off on me about the Rods. You guys, this is horrible music, Carl. The 60s are dead. This is crap. What are you doing? And I stopped for a minute because it was early Rods. I'm like, because I loved it. But it's made me stop in my tracks, and I'm thinking, wow, is this guy right? Like, what am I doing? Like, we just cleared this club. People obviously do not want to hear it. And I'm looking down at him, I go, and I think to myself, wait, that guy's totally out of it, drunk, sitting there squatting against the building. You taking advice from this guy? You love this music. And then I never looked back. So, but it was in the early days, it was not easy for us to build a following.
You know, it's kind of crazy because like a year or two ago, one of my Facebook friends, he put a thing up on Facebook that he was looking to form a new band and he wanted to form a 3-piece metal band just like the Rods. And I was like, damn, Carl would be so happy about that.
Well, that's great to hear. He's a real idiot, but God bless him. And I'm just kidding. I don't even know this guy.
You know, I saw too last night, you know, as I was going through doing research that another person, you know, in my eyes, who's legendary that you worked with recently, you've worked with in the past too, who I've talked to quite a few times, Brad Sinsel from TKO.
Yes. Matter of fact, I just have the Angel of Dresden's video just sent to me this morning. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was, you know, I met Brad during the Thrasher album, so, you know, a number of years ago. And loved Brad, loved his voice. He has such an amazing voice. But he's a great guy as well. We've been friends ever since. So we've done some things together, worked on projects. We even did Ace of Spades, tribute to Lemmy after Lemmy passed away. And he killed it on that song. Mm-hmm. So he and Bryn Ahrens invited me to guest drum on this Angels of Dresden song. And it is a killer tune. I love it. It's one of those songs that it gets in your brain and you're just singing away like, okay, make this stop. It's so catchy. It's a great tune. I'm proud, you know, an honor they would ask me. So hopefully that's awesome. It'll be out soon. I don't know I haven't heard enough to contact them and find out what the release is on this, but hopefully people will hear it and it's worth checking out.
That's awesome. I got to reach out to him. He's always, I always love talking to him because he's a guy like you, you know, who's got like such an amazing history and knowledge of everything. And it's always a fun conversation.
It is. Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Now, something I was thinking of too last night, like I was scrolling through your Facebook page. I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, you had shared out something that was, you know, in your Facebook memories. It was from 2015 and it was you and the Rods playing with Veronica Freeman on Dio Day in 2015. And it made me think to myself, like, I wonder if, were you ever like asked over the years by other bands, especially like in maybe like the last 10 years or so, 15 years, by other metal bands, like, hey, we need a drummer. Why don't you come play with us?
That's a good question. In the early days, I was asked, you know, by Crocus. I was asked by Danny Joe Brown's band. I was asked to audition for a couple of major bands. And but, you know, of late, like, I get guest appearances. Like, no one said, come out on the road with us. And which, you know, I might consider depending if it's the right band. But no one's really invited me out. A band from Greece just invited me to play on a song of theirs for their new album. And, you know, so I get that. But you know, so if anybody's listening, you want to take me on the road.
As long as so that's something you would entertain if it was the right thing. You would like.
I would if it's, if it's the right thing. But of course, with the Rona, I don't know when anybody's going back on the road.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be this year. It looks like.
No. And the Rods are booked for Up the Hammers in Greece in March. I'm hoping that'll happen. I mean, we were doing what's the festival in Chicago? Now, of course, I can't think of it because it changed names this year, but that's off the table. And then they moved it to September. And now we're just back to next year, next April, because of all of this. So and we had some other dates for the Rods and Kennedy had a couple of dates as well. But we do have a live virtual concert that'll be coming out. We did do
a
virtual concert. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. It's the thing about Kennedy is that I've been saying this, and this proves the fact that what I was saying was not just hype, because I don't like hype, and I try not to do it. The band, we basically can do the album live and do justice to it. And, you know, that just sounds like, because I hear bands, you know, talking crap all the time, and I think, yeah, okay, sure. But this way, people can actually hear us play, and it's pretty close to the album. So I'm like, wow, this is great.
I'll tell you what,
not look like a fool.
I was sitting as I was getting ready for the interview this morning. I was sitting there last night getting everything ready. And, you know, whenever I'm getting ready for these interviews, I listen to the music. So I get into that little zone and everything and get into it. Freaking album is phenomenal. It is an amazing album. It really is.
Thank you so much for that. When you record and write, it's, and then you wait for it to come out, and there's the dead air period, you know, between when you finish it, you finish mixing it, you finally let it go. And now you wonder, you're so close to it, and you wonder, anybody going to like this? Are we going to be, people going to just crap all over this album? And it's been thrilling to see that people responded so well, you know, because this album was, I've been playing with the Jeffrey James Band here in Scranton, PA area for 22 years now. It's an 8-piece horn band.
Wow.
And so whenever I go on the road, you know, my two buddies who play drums, one was the original drummer and one was the drummer who took over for a while for me after I left and then stayed on as percussion when I came back. They fill in for me. So I've been with these guys. So about 6-7 years ago, Tony Garuba, the bass player in Kennedy, joined Jeffrey James Band.
Okay.
And we hit it off perfectly because Tony got a Black Sabbath album when he was young. He went into this whole heavy metal parallel universe. He just doesn't know there's songs that Jeffrey James have done, and we'll say, oh, we could do that one, and you look at his face like he's like a Martian showed up. He'd never seen it before. That whole parallel heavy metal universe he was in was great. So, but he and I clicked so well. But he had a band called TLC. They're re-releasing Original Sin on Heaven and Hell Records soon, and that band, you know, their drummer wasn't able to. They wanted to do a new album. They wanted to work. And they had a TV show booked. And the drummer just wasn't able to make it because of job commitments. So they invited me to do the TV show. So we rehearsed. It went really well. We did the TV show. I didn't become a big star from that, by the way, just so you know. But I did do the TV show. And so we decided we'd get together and start running. So for almost 2 years, we would just get together once every Monday. And we would write songs. That's what we did. But for the every Monday was never every Monday because you know how life is. Like we try to get together four Mondays a month. It's one, two, you know, I mean, you do the best you can. Everybody's busy. But after 2 years, a year and a half or so, suddenly we had an album that we were really proud of. We had a group of songs we were really happy with. And then we'd become a band in the process of working, you know, like so many times with the project, you throw it together quickly and then that's it. In this situation, there we were working all this time together. Tony and I have been together now for 7 years or something. And there we were working with the Kennedy Project. And it just sort of morphed into this band that was a solid band, played together, were tight. And so it was amazing. It was very organic. And then I sent Johnny Z the tracks from Chris Collier, who was a great mix engineer and producer. Chris Collier mixed the album for us. And Chris, once we were done, I sent the tracks to Johnny Z, the legendary John Zazula. And he sequenced the album.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, you know, everything kind of fell into place. Like, I didn't ask him to sequence the album. You know, I sent it to him. Like, what do you think, John? And he goes, well, this is what I think. You know, John's never one to shy away from that. I've called him since the early days. I've always called John the P.T. Barnum of metal. He's just an amazing guy. And, you know, he has his finger on, hey, this is how things should be. And this is how you present it. So we were all like, well, if that's what John thinks, then that's what it is.
That's awesome. Now going back to when you and when Tony first joined the band, the Jeffrey James Band with you, after you guys start talking, did he know who you were? Did he know the Rods? And
He did. When he came in. I remember him saying that was kind of a catalyst for wanting to join the band initially.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, Jeffrey James, we've been together. It's a great group of guys. Jim Kovaleski has been the leader for 40 years, something like that, since he was in his teens with his cousin. That's where the Jeffrey James comes from. And, you know, he's a great leader, and he's also, the band is all tight. Everybody's a good guy. Everybody plays really well. And, so it's, you know, it just makes it a nice place to be, you know, when you're playing gigs. And my daughter, there was a point where I didn't want to do it anymore. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this cover thing anymore. And she said, you know, you really love playing your drums. So why would you stop doing something you love, even though you're doing cover music? And my daughter's a great musician. She's a music teacher, but she's a really talented, the musician that I would have loved to have been.
Wow.
And she's a, and so, you know, her words really stick. She's always truthful. And I started thinking about it, and then I decided that, yeah, you know, who the hell am I? Like, what kind of attitude is that? I don't want, like, whoa, wow, dude, back up a little bit. And then I started looking at all the songs as how can I learn, really delve into what these drummers are doing, listen to the styles. And I love arranging. I've always been good at arranging. I've always had arranging ideas. So I just sort of recommitted myself to the music from a whole different perspective. And now it's just great because when we learn new songs, I really delve into what they're doing. It's helped my drumming because now I'm playing so many different styles,
right,
learning so many different things. And it's been tremendous for me. And so I always thank her for that because I was like, I don't need to do this. I'm out. And, you know, she gave me that little nice slap in the face. Like, who the hell are you, buddy? Back it up. Lose the ego, pal.
Now, how about, you know, when you guys first started getting together, you know, or trying to get together on Mondays to start writing music, was the vision in your head to put together a new album for your project, or that was, you know, you were just going to see what happened?
This album was so, and I hate to say organic and, you know, like use all the buzzwords, but the reality of it was, I don't think any of us had a vision. I think we just wanted to write good songs. And I don't think, and initially it was not a Kennedy album. Initially it was either going to be either a TLC or a new band name, or, you know, we just didn't even have a plan on that. So that kind of morphed toward the end where it made more sense to just release it as a Kennedy album. You know, I'd already done a Kennedy album. There was a little bit of name recognition. And so we thought, let's just call it Kennedy. But it's in no way my band, you know, I'm just a member of this band. And I love that. Like all these guys, I participated in, my percentage of the writing in these songs is really small compared to with the Rods, where I write a certain amount of material, or like in the case of Brotherhood of Metal, you know, I wrote the initial and the idea and sent it to David, who completed it brilliantly, and or I wrote all of 1982, including music, lyrics, melodies, and even the bulk of what turned into the guitar solo. And, wow, you know, and that's a testament to David, because David's always been so respectful of my songwriting and even my guitar playing, which is really funny because he's always like, no, you play great. And if I play a riff, like a guitar solo, like in 1982, for example, that he likes, he keeps it. You know, that's, wow, that's amazing for a guitarist of his stature, who's just such a phenomenal signature player. You know, and very respectful. So I have nothing but, you know, praise for David on that. But in this case, I didn't do that. I came in and I contributed whatever arrangement ideas or suggestions, but they were minor by comparison. You know, Tony, Mike, and Charlie, those guys worked together a while and a long time, really. And they have a way of working. And initially my way of doing things was different from their way of doing things. And we had to have a little bit of adjustment period.
Sure.
But once we got past it, it was clear sailing. And so, you know, I've been doing this a long time, as have you. You know, some things catch fire, and other things you can just sledgehammer them and try to get them into the hole you want them to go into, and nothing's going to get it through the hole. And thank God this Kennedy album is, you know, catching fire on its own. Basically the way we started it, we didn't have a plan. There was no game plan. I wish I could say, I'd love to say, you know, yeah, we planned all of this, and, you know, this is a big master plan being executed. It was not. It was just guys who like to play music. And I think that's what I love about it, because I've had discussions with my friends who are older about the music business and about recording new material.
Okay.
And a lot of them are very negative. I'm sure you've heard it.
Sure.
Do new music? Nobody cares. I'm like, I care. And I don't care if there are three people out there who love and want to hear what I do. Those are the people I'm doing it for myself and those however few or however many people who want to hear the music. And I think that's where this came from, that place of we wanted that. And, you know, it's gotten so now it's what percentage do I write? Who owns the copyright? Who's this? Whose manager wants this? Whose manager wants that? And I try to tell them, go back to the original days when you first started playing. Did you think about the business side of the music? You played because you played with passion and heart,
right,
and you loved the music, and you need to go back to do that. Like, the music business sucks. The man screwed me. Like, there's no man. The man screwed the man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You know, why be bitter about something that doesn't even exist? Go back to the day you loved playing, you love writing. Go back to that. And then whatever it is, it is. And I think in this, it's actually something that it's renewed my faith in that this was approached as not a money thing, we're going to make money, we're going to be this, we're going to do this. It was just, let's write some really good songs we're proud of. And so what's happened from that is phenomenal, because we did it out of that, the desire to write and perform together, period. It wasn't about percentages.
Yeah. You know, I wish more people, music fans, would be open to, like, giving people like yourself or anybody who has had an amazing body of work of music, but they just want to keep listening to the same old stuff. They won't give the new stuff a chance. And people like yourself are putting out amazing freaking albums. And you know, I'll go to the King of the Mountain, Ozzy himself. You know, Ozzy has put out albums over the years, and the last few were like, eh. But his album he put out this year, I think it's one of the best albums he's ever done. It's a phenomenal album. You know, like, mm-hmm. people got to be open to, like, giving new music a chance and just enjoy it, because there's a lot of amazing music being made.
I have friends who they'll say, oh, anything past the 70s sucks. I'm like, wow, have you ever listened to anything? And then I'll ask them, you ever listened to Deezer or Spotify or Pandora? I don't even know what those are. I'm like, well, maybe you're falling behind, pal.
So the rest of the guys in the band, how is it for them? Like, now they're getting, you know, their pictures being splattered all over music sites all around the world now, and people are talking about the music. And what's it like for them now to be, like, kind of thrown out there?
I think they're happy. You know, they don't seem to have the big, like, oh, wow, you know, but I think they're really happy the music is recognized. I think that's what's been important to them. I noticed that when they read a review, or we'll talk about a review, they seem to respond to the fact that a reviewer really got what each musician was contributing and what about the songs. I think that's what they really glean from that whole that process. There's no, you know, like, no big ego thing at all. But I do think they're happy that the music is recognized as quality writing.
That's awesome. Now, how about I saw a funny quote from you from an interview you did recently. Where in the interview you called yourself the biggest prick to work with.
it's so true. And Rob Reiner and I, 2 days ago, we were talking, and we talked for about an hour and a half on Facebook Messenger, you know, the video chat. And we're talking about how I did the album, but I've done over 40 albums. So I've worked with a lot of artists, but I've never worked with on a solo album where I come, and especially in this digital age, you know, it would go to Joe Camo or Chris Caffrey. John Hahn did his parts, which, by the way, John Hahn has a new album I played a couple drum tracks on that is an unbelievable album. So anybody out there who's a John Hahn fan, stay tuned, because this is by far the best album he's ever done. Music's unbelievable. But so I was the one who knew all the pieces, and so nobody had the vision except me, but I was insecure. I was incompetent. I was an asshole. I don't know if I can say that. Sorry if I can't.
Absolutely.
And I was just amazingly egotistical. You know, I would vacillate from, yeah, this is going to be a great album, to, oh my God, I can't let anybody hear this. It's horrible. You know, so I was literally the biggest jerk, just a jackass. And Rob and I were talking one day, and I was trying to record the drums to My Life, My Way. Not a difficult track. I couldn't get it. I tried it over and over and over. Could not get it. So I was talking to Rob, and he gave me the big producer pep talk. And so I went in and I nailed the drum track. But that's where I was. I was kind of shut down in the water. So that's why I say, when I look back on it, I never wanted to do another solo album with myself, because I was truly the worst artist I'd ever worked with.
So does that mean we might not get another Kennedy album in the future? This is it?
Might not. Most likely we'll never have an actual solo album from me. I wanted to write that because I wanted that album because I wanted to have an album that showcased my songwriting that I owned 100% of, that I had written lyrics, music, melodies, 100% of the music. Everything you heard came from me. I even put a couple of my demos. I call them my 30-minute demos, where I play guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, sing, and, you know, very offensively. And then I send it to the guys. I've done that for years with the Rods, where I send them that stuff, and then they learn the song from that. And, you know, they have to sort of weed through all the crap, but it's my 30-minute demo. And I even put a couple of those on just so people can see that I actually can play the instruments, you know.
Wow. Now, the album, like I was going through, I got in there was a breakdown that was given to me for each song, like what each song's about. Is this a Christian rock album?
No, not at all. Tony is, and I'm not to say that, you know, people in the band aren't Christian, but it is no way a Christian rock album. But there are things in the, you know, some of the lyrics, and it's funny you spotted that. But Tony's really a disciple of Roman Empire.
Okay.
And Mike is very, he's a philosopher. He's an amazing guy, introspective. And so the lyrics cover, run the gamut. But Tony's, you know, very much into history, Roman history, and so on. So that's where it comes from. He even has tattoos that reflect that. So.
Oh, nice. So the first single and video was the song Warrior, which came out awesome. Any plans to do any more videos at all? Or
we have three more videos in the can, to go. And we have the live video, which will be broadcast at some point. I'm just waiting for a date. There's a platform that's asked for that. So we did a 30-minute live video. And it's really odd that, you know, there we are with people filming, and the studio engineer has everything mic'd up, and you know, end a song, sounds powerfully in the song, bam.
You're waiting for the crowd.
Crickets. You hear crickets and nothing. The camera people are, you know, terrified of making any noise, and so you hear silence. You get done. It was fun, but it was also like, wow, this is a new day here, you know.
I've been like with all the interviews I've been doing, you know, a lot of the artists are doing these live streams, and I think it's going to be the whole wave of the future now is these live stream concerts.
I agree. I mean, it's something that, first of all, you can do it live, and of course, then it's recorded so that it can be rebroadcast. It can be part of your catalog, your body of work. So there are a lot of things. It's kind of like seeing your doctor through Skype or telemed. You know, that was something that was coming, but the pandemic has now changed it where, you know, I'm going to get a prostate check at some point via Skype.
I don't know how they're going to do that one, but
I'm just kidding. But you know, I think the telemed thing is here, but I do think with bands, you know, you're definitely going to see a lot of it. I agree with you.
I think the only bad part is like just how you said, like, you know, you do this amazing performance with this great song and then you have the crickets at the end. But on the flip side, I think it's going to be such an amazing tool because, you know, you guys performing in Scranton, Pennsylvania can now reach people in Greece and Italy and Germany, you know, all around the world at one shot. So I think it's going to be a very powerful tool.
And I think we see these videos from Vakken and Download and Grass Pop and whatever. I mean, they're live on stage in front of a lot of people, but I think the productions you'll see expand. We did it in the recording studio where we wrote the album, but I think you'll see this in larger scale and maybe a limited audience, you know, as well. So I think you'll see this number of variations on how this will be presented and who knows, maybe technology will advance so that people can log into a room and have a live audio feed. So when the band ends, we can hear, yay, you know, and see the horns up. So who knows? Who knows where it'll go?
Right. Now you guys the album is out digitally. People can get it now. But you're holding physical copies off until August.
That's because of due to the pandemic.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah. The factory just opened. So that was the problem. Just getting them made and knowing that you can have them delivered, you know, in a timely manner, because everything's moving slowly.
Did you think of holding it back during a pandemic at all because of that reason? Or did you figure, nah, let's get it out now? And
we did. We talked about this, and I spent hours getting information from my friends in the business. And Chip Ruggieri, Ruggieri, who was our publicist for this leg of the album, he gave us a lot of input. And from that, I just decided that let's do this. And the guys were on board. And like, you know, this could be epic fail, but by the same token, let's just go now. Let's not sit on it. None of us, you know, there's that period of time where when the album is completed and you release it, where it's really difficult, emotionally tough time for bands.
Sure.
And I just wanted to bypass that. So I just said, let's do it. And I have to say, on one hand, it may have been not the most intelligent thing to do, but on the other hand, it gave us a chance to get it out and get feedback and not sit on our hands all this time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did, you know, to what end. I mean, I'm hoping that the end will be very positive. It seems like it is, and I'm thrilled, but it was definitely a little bit scary to pull the trigger on it, but all good so far.
Nice. Now, how about the Rods? Anything going on in the world of the Rods?
The Rods are, David and I are going to be working probably next week on getting some arrangements on 4 songs, and then we're going to record them. And then we'll, from there, we will see where it goes. But yeah, we plan on moving forward with the new album, and I'm excited about it.
Nice.
I think Brotherhood of Metal was a great Rods album, and you know, we want to continue that momentum we have.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, hopefully, hopefully live shows can happen at some point in the very near future for both of you, you know, the Rods and Kennedy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's for all, you know, for all my friends who are out there touring, you know, who are out there touring, who no longer can, it's devastating. So hopefully we can. But I'd love to have both the Rods and Kennedy start doing gigs, and hopefully that will happen. We'll see.
Awesome. Awesome. Carl, where should we tell everybody to go so they can get the album?
You can go to kennedyband.com. So, of course, the 3 W's and then CANEDY band.com. And make sure you spell it CANEDY, not the KENN, because that'll take you some other weird place, I guess. But CANEDY band.com. And of course, there are photos. You can sample the music. There are links to all, you know, Deezer, YouTube, Spotify, etc. Everything is there. You can sample the music. You can pre-order an album. You can pre-order CD. And from what I've seen of the album work that Eric Philippe has done, it's amazing. And the splatter vinyl is going to be pretty incredible as well. So I think it's going to be a nice package. So everything is there. You can join a mailing list. You can leave a comment. You can read reviews. You can see testimonials. You can write and tell us that you just really think the album sucks. Whatever you want. It's wide open.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Carl, this is it's always great to talk to a legend. So I want to thank you. Thank you for an amazing album. And seriously, people, like, if you're a lover of true classic heavy metal, I mean, this is a classic sounding metal album, but it does have that modern feel to it. It's got amazing melodies. It's just an amazing hard rock metal album, and people really need to check this out.
Well, Bay, thank you for those kind words. Really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on, because there are no live gigs. This is the only way to get the music out. And Kennedy is a new band. So this is really important, and we all thank you for that.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Thank you. And take care.
You too. Have a great day.
Stay safe, Carl.
You too.